is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Whitmire's Distilling, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Can't tell me you don't like Harden throwing in threes from the parking lot and Austin Rivers teeing up his own dad.
That was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that was fun. I enjoyed it.
I don't know if I'll go so far as I enjoyed it.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, James wasn't doing James things. He was doing threes from 12 feet behind the line. You love it when Steph does that.
That's true. I mean, it was better than the average Rockets game. I'll give him that. One thing about Deshaun, and this went back to his college days, he doesn't get blown out. I don't know that he's lost a game by more than 7-10 points in his life. So this is a guy who keeps his team in games.
Yeah, and, well, the Texans are really good against the run, but they're not particularly good against quarterbacks who run, and I think that's where they're going to do their damage.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson's going to have a big game. But I don't see this game getting out of hand, but I do think it's going to be a 31-28 type of game.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, live from Whitmire's Distillery here in Houston. Houston's first distillery, Houston's best distillery. Really the only one you should even pay any attention to, because
the other ones are all stupid.
Yeah, the other ones are all number two. It's that simple. If you want to get in, text us at 713-780-3776. You can get us on Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975, at Tyler Drew Scott. That's basically the best way to get in touch with the show. You can text us as well, but right now, don't bother, because we're going to be talking to one of our favorite guys, lead college football and college basketball analyst for pregame.com, the legend that is Brad Powers. Follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7. Brad, what's going on, buddy?
Yeah, legend only in my own mind, guys.
No, in the minds of the people too. Come on,
yeah,
Brad.
The people love you. Yeah. We're not even going to talk about last week. Come on, not cool.
Yeah, let's not. Let's move forward after that.
Let me ask you this, man. I know you're having a not so great football season, but I know you. I mean, obviously, we do the college hoops pod, and you do great in college hoops as well. When you're struggling in college football and college basketball starts up, it seems like it would be easy to just be like, you know what, I'm going to do less volume on college football, start focusing more on college hoops, and just move on to the next thing. I mean, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I don't do that. I mean, I need to finish strong, because, I mean, if people are going to remember anything, it's going to be how you finish. Because, let's face it, more eyeballs get more on the TV sets as the season moves along. I mean, you saw it last week with that big TV rating. Think about the Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, Auburn games. Then you get into conference championship games. How many more millions of people are watching that game? And more millions of people are watching it, that means millions of more people are betting it. And historically, even in my bad years, I've somehow, you know, had some really good bowl seasons. And because bowl season is very much unlike the regular season, it's completely
it's a different
style of handicapping. So, no, The focus for me is still on football and finishing this baby strong.
Well, look, can we just talk about this for a second? Because everybody goes through a stretch where things, and I've kind of gone through a stretch with college football here over the last few weeks. Same thing, where it's not working. But I don't know
what that's like.
Yeah, but I still feel like the handicapping has been right. It just hasn't gone my way. But at what point do you kind of look at it and say, well, maybe my power rankings are off, or maybe it's just not going my way, but I still believe in what I'm doing? And that's, you've got an incredible track record of, you know, no matter how things are going in a given year or even a given few weeks, you know, long term you're going to be great. But do you reevaluate? Do you self scout, or you just say, you know what, I'm going to stick to what I know works?
You're probably all of the above, a combination of all of the above, to be honest with you. You got to go on a case-by-case basis. I mean, are you losing? You got to think about ATS margin. Are you losing it because of a pick six, or you're picking a seven-point favorite and they get beat outright by three touchdowns and you're not even close by any stretch? Are you picking games early in the week and the lines are going against you, or is the market agreeing with you and you're able to beat? And it's not the Holy Grail, but if you're getting a bunch of picks and you're getting ahead of the closing line, I mean, theoretically, over a course of hundreds and hundreds of games, thousands of games, you should be in good set, in good shape. So it's kind of all the above, and it's kind of why this is sometimes more of an art than a science.
Well, let's get into this week's games. Let's see what we like here. I told Fred earlier in the show, this is the lightest card of the season for me on college football.
And I'm the exact opposite this week.
There's nothing jumping out at me as like, ooh, I've got to play this. The one game that let's talk about tomorrow's game, the Marshall Louisiana Tech game, because it looks like there's been a big line move. Looks like there's going to be suspensions coming down for Louisiana Tech, which could include their quarterback. What kind of adjustment has the market made, and how much further can it go at this point?
So the market's moved about 2.5 points. Marshall was about a 2.5 point home favorite. I saw before I just did the Straight Out of Vegas show, last line I saw was 5. So about a 2.5 point adjustment, obviously through a key number of 3. I think Jamar Smith's worth about 4 points. He's had a pretty good season. So if he is indeed out and you think, you know, there's greater than a 50% chance of that, then, I mean, let's go ahead and take advantage of it and bet Marshall, because I think the line will continue to go up and close near 7 if indeed Jamar Smith's out.
All right, well, let's get into some of the marquee games this week, and we'll start with, the marquee game this week is going to be Auburn-Georgia, and this is a tough one for me because I liked Georgia preseason. I said before the season started, I think Georgia is going to be the national champion. I probably wouldn't say that now, but the thing about Auburn, and I think Auburn's pretty good, I still have them in my top 10 as far as power rankings go. But the two times that they've played a good team, they got beat. And so they're like Alabama. Their best win is over Texas A&M. And at some point you get
Auburn in the openers. They did win in the openers against Oregon.
You're right. But that was a game where I felt like if you watched all but 1 minute of that game, Oregon was the better team. So how good is Auburn really? And do you like Auburn catching the points here against Georgia at home?
I think Auburn's really good. I have Auburn in my top 10 of my power ratings. And, I mean, is losing by 3 on the road at LSU that bad? I'd say, that's a thumbs up. Looking at, you know, the Florida game, there's a bunch of turnovers. Both teams are really sloppy in that game. But it's not like they were completely overmatched on the road again against Florida. And Bo Nix, the quarterback, struggled in both of those games. He's actually been much better, and it makes a lot of sense at home when you got a young true freshman quarterback, 60% completion rate at home, only 50 on the road. And looking at it here, I think just Georgia right now is a little overrated, and it's mainly due to their schedule. Defense getting a lot of love here recently and because they pitched a couple of shutouts. But, I mean, it was a shutout against a third-string Kentucky quarterback in a pouring rain. And it was a shutout against a backup quarterback in Missouri last week. And offensively, Georgia, last 4 games, 22 points per game. That's it, offensively. They got a couple of their offensive linemen banged up a little bit. One of their best wide receivers banged up a little bit last week. Looks like a majority of those guys are going to go. But Auburn off a bye. I like Auburn not only to cover here, I think they win the game outright. I like Auburn quite a bit.
Well, the thing that concerns me is Nix, obviously. And you mentioned his home road splits.
Oh, yeah.
And his home splits are obviously better, but his home schedule is Tulane, Kent, Mississippi State, and Ole Miss. Every road game he's played, it's been against better competition. They played LSU on the road. They played Florida on the road. They played Texas A&M on the road. They played Oregon at a neutral. So, I think maybe it's not as simple as Bo Nix is more comfortable at home. It's Bo Nix has been playing crappy teams at home. And now he's got a pretty solid team coming in.
That's strong. But if he's completing against all those good teams 50% on the road, wouldn't you expect maybe 55% then at home? We'll split the difference?
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. I think this is clearly the best team that's come into Auburn this year. I mean, it's going to be a different level matchup for him as far as home.
But who is George? I mean, what is George's big win? Florida? Notre Dame? They got beat by – I'm not seeing it. I mean, I was with you, AJ.
I said Florida
had a really good shot to win the title.
You say Florida incredulously. You say Florida incredulously, but they beat Auburn.
Fair enough. But, I mean, if we're transitive property, I mean, every year you can take like a Division I AA team and have them beating Alabama.
But wouldn't you say wins over Florida and Notre Dame are better than anything that Auburn's accomplished this year? Well, I get, but ooh. I guess the Oregon. You can give them the Oregon win. I get, but
yeah,
I just
but
keep
in
looking
that game,
at Oregon,
I Oregon was outplayed.
I feel like yeah, that's a shady data point.
Yeah, I would agree. Because the Florida win by 7, I mean, the true score of that game, if I had to replay it and say, hey, what'd your eye test see? I would have said Georgia by double digits watching that. I agree yeah. with that one. But, again, who is Georgia? I mean, that's a neutral site game. Who has Georgia played significantly on the road?
They've not.
There you
I
go.
I want to ask you, you were talking about LSU. I really wanted to play Mississippi this week because 21.5, and Ole Miss, you know, they hung around with Auburn. They hung around with A&M. And, yes, LSU's clearly better, but that was LSU's Super Bowl last week. They finally slayed the Dragon. I got to think this is a letdown spot. I still think they win, but 21.5 points, I really want to bet Mississippi. I kind of chickened out of making it one of my picks, but what do you think about that game?
I lean that way. Here's why it's not a like on Ole Miss. Keep in mind, Ed Orgeron was fired from Ole Miss. He's a rah-rah type of guy, yeah. in case you guys don't know. And what he's done against Ole Miss the last 3 years, he's won all three games, he's covered all three games, and he's covered them by an average of 12 points per game. 12 points per game above the Vegas spread. Expectation, that would be my worry. If he's got an opportunity to put one on Ole Miss, and he's got the offense to do it this year, unlike past, that was stodgy LSU offenses.
Right.
That would be my only reason not to, to like Ole Miss here, especially at a better number now. It's bumped up to 21.5.
So I am trying to – I mean, I was hoping that I'd get a better number on this, on the Iowa-Minnesota game. I like Iowa. I'm probably going to – I'll have some sort of parlay on an Iowa money line play. I think Iowa is maybe just the better team here than Minnesota, and I think Minnesota coming off a almost like a program-defining win, it seems like a really big spot for a letdown here. What do you think of this Iowa-Minnesota matchup, with Minnesota obviously facing more pressure than they ever have because their program's never been looked at like this?
Yeah, I like Iowa here. So let's just look at coin flip games for both teams this year, games that could have went either way. So games decided by 7 points or less. Iowa 1-3 in those games. So they've been a little unfortunate outside of the Iowa State game. They've lost to Michigan, Penn State, and even last week against Wisconsin. All good teams, too. Losing by 7 points or less. On the flip side, Minnesota in games decided by 7 points or less, 5-0 this year, including last week. Look, they outplayed Penn State the majority of that game, but if you just dive into the box score, Minnesota's plus 2 in turnovers. They stopped Penn State inside the 10-yard line on a drive. So, I mean, and we're outgained by 60 yards. I think that creates some value here on the Hawkeyes. I bet the Hawkeyes. I like Iowa -3.
Another game that I kind of chickened out on, but Texas getting 7 points at Iowa State. We've talked about Herman as an underdog. I think Texas is every bit as good as Iowa State, and I'm getting 7 points. What do you think about that game?
Yeah, I bet Texas here. Let's talk about the line here. Forget the Tom Herman underdog stuff for a second. These two teams have played 15 times since 1980. 15 times. This is the first time. First time Iowa State's ever been favored over Texas. So for that to be right, then Iowa State's got to be historically great this year. Statistically, they might be compared to recent Iowa State teams. I mean, their stats are good. They've been unfortunate in a lot of close games, but that's not a definitive yes. This is the best Iowa State team we've seen here in the last 40 years. I don't think you can answer that with 100% certainty. On the other side, is this the worst Texas team in that 40-year stretch? No. And did they meet expectations so far this season? No, but it's not like this is a bad Texas team. And to me, if I'm a Texas player, I'm a 4- or 5-star highly regarded recruit, I have kicked Iowa State's butt the last 3 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm feeling disrespected catching a full touchdown here. I like Texas.
Another Big 12 game, Oklahoma -10.5 at Baylor. I think I'm kind of done betting against Baylor, but I do feel like this is a spot where OU should get right. They've got some defensive guys back. I know they've had some injuries. Unbeaten team is a 10.5-point dog at home. Your thoughts?
Just a lean on Baylor. I kind of want to play against both teams. I mean,
that's how I feel too, yeah.
Yeah. And I'll by Saturday I'll figure out a way, but I mean, the Oklahoma defense, you're right, getting a couple players back, but I put some of the blame on Lincoln Riley. And, you know, we talk about complementary football. You know, what are you doing offensively to help or hurt your defense? Here's what I've seen the last 3 weeks is the Oklahoma running backs combined, all the Oklahoma running backs, 42 carries, not per game, all three games combined, 42 carries. That defense has been on the field a lot. They've worn down the last couple weeks. I mean, it's not like Iowa State and Kansas State are world beaters on the offensive side of the football, but yet they're putting 40-plus points. It looks like Oklahoma's defense from last year. But on the other side, I mean, Baylor, we just talked about Minnesota being fortunate, winning a bunch of close games. Baylor's won 4 by 6 points or less, one in double overtime, one in triple overtime. I just want to play against both teams. But at 10.5, I would lean, just a lean, pizza money Baylor.
Michigan seems like maybe they're starting to figure some things out. Michigan State seems like maybe they're just not as good as their brand name suggests. And I would guess, you know, Michigan in a year where Harbaugh's been under some pressure, it seems like this is a spot where Michigan may want to run up the score on Sparty. What do you, we're looking at 13.5 now. What do you think that game ends up doing?
Yeah, I'd lay it. And, boy, prior to the season, I would have said no way because I was pretty high on Michigan State. But, I mean, this Michigan State program, on and off the field, it feels like a broken program. And, look, I like Mark D'Antonio. I think he's been one of the better, more underrated coaches of the last 10, 15 years. But
he's probably fired, though, right?
I don't know. Do you fire the all-time winningest coach in program history?
I mean, it's almost, to me, it's almost getting to be like the Mac Brown situation at Texas. Where
Philip
like
Fulmer.
Yeah, you know, like this guy's great. Or even Les Miles at LSU. He's great, but he's no longer doing what we expect him to do. We need a new voice in there.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, man, last week to me felt like a backbreaker. Coming off a bye, they look good early. You're up 25 on Illinois. And then to lose that game outright the way they did, I mean, Brian Lewerke, the quarterback, takes a knee to the helmet. He goes right back in the game. The next play, he's throwing a pick six. That's, you know, raising concerns. I mean, their best linebacker was suspended for the season before the game for PEDs. Michigan, meanwhile, off a bye and haven't had many opportunities to put one on Michigan State the last decade. I think they do so up in the Big House on Saturday.
I know you follow Notre Dame pretty closely. Interesting line, I thought, to open. An interesting move so far. A big move towards Navy. And now you're getting down. It's moved from 10 down to 7. I actually really liked Navy at 10. Now at 7, I don't feel really good about that. What's this game telling you? And why is that line move so significant?
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, this is one the biggest disparity I've had between my power ratings and the line all season. And some people might say, hey, you got your biggest bet of the season on Notre Dame? I don't. I actually bet Notre Dame early in the week thinking, it'll at least go to 10 or go above is what my expectation was. I mean, it's not like Notre Dame is bad. They're off a big blowout win at Duke where I thought they'd actually struggle. But the fact that it's down to 7 has me a little bit worried. News breaks today. First time in 40-plus years, Notre Dame's not going to have a sellout. If you're talking about fishy line, sort of say, of the week, it'd be this one. I mean, keep in mind, I mean, Navy, just a few weeks, about a month ago at Memphis, was catching 10 or 11. They're on the road at Notre Dame catching 7. Notre Dame's better than Memphis.
Well, go ahead, Fred.
No, you go ahead.
Let's get down to the big game of the week here. Northwestern and UMass. We ask you every week, we look at Northwestern. We see, 1-8. Awful. The worst, the lowest scoring offense in the country. Oh, man. They're giving up 41 points to UMass. Are you laying it with Northwestern, or are you taking the points? What do you say, Brad?
So maybe I'm guessing why AJ's had a great college football season. I'm taking he's faded UMass a lot. Is that
faded
correct?
UMass, faded Akron.
It's been faded
double digit favorite service academies until last week when they played
there
UMass.
You go. All right. And then that's good. And then what, you played on Ohio State?
I think if you play in Ohio State.
Bet on Ohio State, fade UMass, fade Akron, you'd be like, what, 27-2?
against I'm the doing spread all right.
this year?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah, you would be doing all right. I mean, this is unbelievable. Keep in mind, the last five games total, Northwestern's offense has scored 38 points in five games, and they're laying 40 and a half. Largest favorite roll ever for Northwestern, ever in the history of the school. Yeah, I'd lay it over UMass. UMass is by far the worst team I've ever power rated. I actually think they're probably out of 125 FCS teams, they'd probably be worse than 100 FCS teams.
Oh, wow.
If UMass played Akron again on a neutral, what would you line it?
On a neutral?
Because Akron, UMass took care of business the first time. I still think it was kind of fluky.
Yeah, they did. I think UMass is worse than Akron, six or seven better.
Okay.
Yeah, I got Akron 6 or 7. Because keep in mind, in that game, Akron was laying 8 on the road. So about 6 or 7 at this point.
So, Brad, one of the things I look for is when there's a really big spread, if the total is close to the spread, I tend to love the over. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel that way about the Ohio State-Rutgers game. I mean, it's a 52.5 spread, and the over-under is only 61.5. I kind of feel like Ohio State can do that by themselves. I also think I don't even need anything from Rutgers. But, I mean, this has been a pretty – it's something that's worked out for me a lot, is taking the overs in games with spreads that are – usually it's within 18 points. To get it within 9, I feel really good about it. Am I on the right track here?
I'll tell you, you would have been really on the right track. Can you believe that there's a place here in Vegas that's the sportsbook Circa? They're the world opener. No, they open before any other book for the upcoming week as far as the lines. They open this line, Ohio State 50.5 points favorite, total 55. 55 you could have gotten on Sunday morning.
Ow.
Yeah, that would have been nice. I somehow missed that. I mean, I that's shameful, to be honest with you, that I missed it.
I guess I would be there as soon as they open on Sunday morning and just to see what I was getting.
Let me tell you, it's open on the app, and I got to tell you, you better be fast on the fingers, because all that these lines that are off are gone within like 3 or 4 minutes. So you better have a real good idea on a game plan on how to take advantage, because it's gone in 4 or 5 minutes.
Well, one of my plays, again, like I said, I don't have a whole lot of plays this week, but one of my plays is on Ohio State, but I'm doing the first half again. I've had some success betting Ohio State first half, because they have been kind of pulling off the gas in the second half, at least offensively. And the number you can get now is 34.5 in the first half. I don't think they're going to have any problem putting up 35, 42 points in the first half against this Rutgers team. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I like that one. That'd probably be my favorite bet of the game. And R.J. Bell was kind of at the forefront of some of this on Ohio State. Are they not? They're great, but are they better than even what we look at? Because we broke it down historically. The margin Ohio State was getting in the first half compared to the second half, and then comparing it to other teams in the last 10 years of college football that win by, between 40 and 50 points per game. And Ohio State was getting a lot more margin, comparatively speaking, in the first half compared to other teams. So they weren't running it up like a lot of people thought they were. Yeah, if you're going to attack this game, I think first half minus 34.5 makes sense to me.
All right, that's Brad Powers. Follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7. There's nobody better. He's the lead college football analyst for pregame.com. You can get his picks there, as you can get all of our picks, but Brad's the best. And we always love having you on, man. Great stuff as always, brother.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Friday.
All righty. So, I feel better about a couple of my plays now.
There you go.
Yeah, so, yeah, I actually, this is the biggest card I've ever had on pregame.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's one of my smaller cards.
I know. It's just a bunch of them. Yeah, and sometimes that happens. A bunch of them jump out at you, and then you go back and you run your numbers, and they back that up. And then sometimes you do it, and you run your numbers, and they don't back it up.
Yep.
And that's when you're down to, okay, I've got two games I like. So, all right. Well, you know what? If this job doesn't work out for us, if gambling doesn't work out for us, you can always go to
mycomputercareer.edu. That's right. Listen, if you're not in a job that you love, why are you still doing it? If you're in a job where you hate your boss, if you're in a job where you're not making enough money, if you're in a job where you don't like your hours, you're working too much, why are you still doing it? Even with no IT experience, they're going to take you at mycomputercareer.edu. They'll get you on the right path. Take their free career evaluation today, and you could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. No computer experience needed. Helping people start from scratch is what they do. You'll attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week. You're going to get everything you need. And it's more than a school because they help you get a job after you graduate because they work with employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid's available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start up soon. Go take that free career evaluation now. MyComputerCareer.edu. It's not rocket science. It's MyComputerCareer. MyComputerCareer.edu.
And we are back on the Blitz live at Whitmire's. And a lot of cool blitzers here. A lot of cool people here. Having a blast, man. This is a... This doesn't suck, AJ.
No, this is one of the good days at work.
It's one of those times where, you know, I love my job, and then there's days where I really love my job. What's that?
They're being bottled as we speak.
Okay, so our selections that everybody voted on are being bottled right now.
Sweet.
So you will be able to purchase both the rye and the bourbon here any minute. Any minute now. So,
Almost time.
Hey, any thoughts on the NFL game tonight? I kind of like the Steelers, kind of like the under.
I like the under.
41.5 is the number I'm seeing.
Yeah, I actually used the under in a teaser piece for the week.
You've been doing a lot of teasing lately.
Well, it's been working out for me.
It has.
These
it
two
has.
Two team 6-point teasers. I like to tease totals, and I like the advantage teasers where I can go through 3-7 or through 7-10.
Right. Right.
So it's a part of a teaser piece for me. I would still like the under. I mean, if I'm teasing it, it means I obviously like it as a actual side too. So I'd sprinkle some on the under 41.5. I like the Steelers. My concern with the Steelers is Mason Rudolph. He sucks. It's becoming more and more obvious.
So does Baker Mayfield, though. I mean, who sucks more?
This is why we like the under. Baker Mayfield, Mason Rudolph, both disastrous under pressure. The only thing that worries me a little bit is turnovers. And turnovers are sometimes good for unders and sometimes can kill unders. And that's the scary part about playing them. But yeah, my if I had to pick any play tonight for the game, it'd be under 41.5.
Yeah, and by the way, these bottles, they will have some available the next couple days. If you come out here for a tour or just come out to the distillery, you can buy them here.
All right.
I mean, unless they sell out tonight, which is possible. There's a bunch of people here, so we'll see how it goes. All right, 713-780-3776. We didn't get to talk too much about it, but not a real shock. Mike Trout, AL MVP.
Third time he's won the MVP award, and we are literally looking at an all-time great player.
Oh, you know, yeah, without a doubt.
I think it's
if he'd been healthy every year.
Oh
and
my!
Nobody wants to hear this because everybody loved that Altuve won the MVP. If he'd been healthy that year, I mean, he damn near won the thing anyway.
Yeah.
Despite missing, he missed a lot more time than he did this year.
Think about this, Mike Trout is. I mean, how many years has he been in the league now? Eight?
I think eight, yeah.
Okay. So Mike Trout is 28 years old. Mike Trout has as many MVP awards as Alex Rodriguez did in his entire career. So, and I mean, think about what Alex Rodriguez, and what, don't worry, I'm not talking about steroids, whatever you think about. Statistically, Alex Rodriguez is one of the greatest players who's ever played baseball. Mike Trout, at age 28, already has as many MVP awards as him.
And it's not like he's beating bad fields.
No.
It's one thing to go out and win the MVP when you're like, okay, well, who else is really the MVP? Every year he wins it, there's somebody else that you can say, I can make a damn good case for.
The list of players in the history of Major League Baseball with three MVPs, three or more, A-Rod.
Pretty good.
Mike Schmidt.
He's okay.
Albert Pujols.
Okay.
This was in the 2000s.
It's hard to forget.
You can separate.
It's hard to remember that he was really good
for
a long time.
Oh, my God. He was unreal.
Yeah, he's just old now.
Stan Musial.
Okay.
Mickey Mantle.
Pretty good. Damn good drinker.
Jimmy Fox, Joe DiMaggio.
Where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio?
Roy Campanella.
Our nation turns its lonely eyes to you.
Yogi Berra. And the only player who has more than three, Barry Bonds with seven.
He was good.
He was good at sports.
Yeah.
Mike Trout has moved into really rarefied air. Everybody I just named is a Hall of Famer. Mike Trout's an obvious no-brainer Hall of Famer, and he's been in the league for 8 years. That's unbelievable. Most guys who have been in the league 8 years, you're like, well, if they have five more years like they've had, you know, we'll discuss them. You know, even with like guys like Clayton Kershaw, we're still like, well, let's wait and see how his career finishes. Mike Trout, there's zero doubt if his head fell off today, he's in the Hall of Fame. That's pretty unbelievable.
It
sucks for Alex Bregman, who had a fantastic year.
He did.
He just,
of course, he cheated, but that's okay.
The reality of it is, when you compare Mike Trout and Alex Bregman's numbers, Mike Trout's numbers are better, and he played
a month less.
He basically played a month less of a season, and he still outstatted him. That's pretty unreal. So, I mean, I don't think you could have been upset if Alex Bregman won, but I don't think you can be mad at Mike Trout winning. He's
well, you can if you're a Houston fan because you wanted Bregman to win it. But the reality is,
but when I say be mad, like you can't say it's unjustifiable, is what I mean.
No.
Like it's
and baseball MVP has always been different than the other sports in that
because it's a counting game.
Baseball MVP goes to the best player. It's not really the most valuable. It's the best player.
Yeah.
And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
Because one player can only have so much of an impact on a team in baseball. One player in football, one player in basketball especially.
Well, even in football. I mean,
well, especially a quarterback.
Quarterbacks can, but on the whole, even if you're – like even J.J. Watt, the year where he was in the MVP race, as good as he was – the difference between him and, two or three people who replace him.
Excuse me.
It's not that big of a difference. That's only two burps for you, and you've had some alcohol here.
I know. My bad.
How was the negative space?
It's coconut space.
Ooh, I'm taking it home.
I know you're not a coconut guy.
No, but I love the negative space.
It's a good beer, man. Yeah, 11 Below does some awesome stouts.
Yeah, and thanks to them. They're right down the road, by the way.
Yeah.
And there's a tour you can take where you come here and then go to 11 Below.
Oh, that's good.
Which, you know what? We all need to do that on a weekend.
Yeah.
Just say, you know what? We're going to do this.
So Jeff, who's one of the owners at 11 Below, his son also plays in the same baseball organization as my son. So I see him at the batting cages a lot. He's another dad who spends ridiculous amounts of money on baseball. So he's got to sell a lot of beer to make up for it, obviously.
Well, you know.
It's like I got to do a lot of radio.
You got to do a lot of radio.
Yeah.
So.
And I got to tell you about CBDMD. CBDMD.com. You want a clean, you want a safe CBD product. You don't want to worry about your drug test at your office. You don't have to with CBDMD. These guys are taking care of you. They're using the finest quality products, and they work. I take it from me, I've felt so much better since I've gotten on CBDMD, and I've been using CBD for years. CBDMD is some of the cleanest, some of the best, some of the most effective CBD that I've ever used. And when you talk about just a value, your bang for your buck, they compare their prices to the other guys' prices right there on their website. You save a lot of money when you use CBDMD.com. I love the oil. I love the CBD freeze after my workouts. I've never felt better, guys. And to make it even easier to see what they can do for you, CBDMD is offering a discount to our listeners. 20% off your order at CBDMD.com when you use the promo code ESPN975 at checkout. That's CBDMD.com. Remember to use promo code ESPN975 at checkout, CBDMD.com.
Live from Whitmire's Distilling, this is The Blitz on ESPN975.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. One final segment here from Whitmire's, and I want to take a second to thank Chris and Travis for having us out, and for everybody who's come out and helped us pick our winners on the rye and bourbon, which are being bottled right now. So you'll be able to buy one in a few minutes to take home with you, either one or both. And if you're not here, should be some available tomorrow and Saturday. So come on out, hang out here, and you'll find out what an awesome place this is.
All right.
So do you have a Hoffman on Hollywood?
I do.
All right, let's do a Hoffman on Hollywood.
Let's start with The Tonight Show, which...
That still exists.
It does.
Who hosts it now?
Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, okay. I just thought it was the Jimmy Fallon show, to be honest with you.
In 2014, when Jimmy Fallon debuted on The Tonight Show, he had an average of 11 million viewers. That's pretty solid.
That's really good, yeah.
Fast forward 5 years, his viewing audience is under 2 million a night.
Ooh.
And he's in the third year of a ratings tumble, while The Late Show with Stephen Colbert builds an audience by... basically following the money and talking politics regularly.
Right.
But even Jimmy Kimmel, who's sort of in the middle, he talks politics not nearly like Colbert does.
Yeah.
But Jimmy Fallon's always made it a thing to stay away from it, and it could be costing him. And Jim Bell on November 4th was exasperated, it exasperated the problem. He got fired as executive producer after 1 year on the job. So didn't go well for him. Basically, everything's falling apart for Jimmy Fallon right now, and this is the worst ratings. Now, mind you, The Late Show and Jimmy Kimmel Live are all down collectively.
Right.
But Jimmy Fallon's numbers are way in the toilet, worse than we've seen on The Tonight Show on NBC in years. So pretty bad signs for Jimmy Fallon right now. Who,
and if I'm not mistaken, I understand he drinks more than the two of us combined.
That's what I've heard.
And gets himself into all kinds. I mean, there's been stories about him dancing on bars and pulling his thing out in a bar and all kinds of stuff.
Oof.
Maybe you know what? I mean, don't want to say anything, but maybe don't drink quite as much until your ratings get back up.
No. That might be the move. I don't
just
know.
Just a thought. Just throwing that out there.
So have either of you guys watched Apple TV Plus?
I've got it on my computer, but no.
Okay, they've got a bunch of original programming, and apparently you're not the only one not watching. And the people who are watching have been kind of like, meh. Unfortunately, Apple Plus has been paying a lot of money to get this programming going. They had the morning show with – think about this. Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon, and Steve Carell, that can't be a cheap show to make, yet nobody's watching it, and the few people that are going, eh, it's all right.
Yeah.
So the head of programming is stepping down 2 weeks after the service launches.
Oh, my God.
Not a great look. They also apparently have a show called Dickinson, which is a new take on the rebellious life of Emily Dickinson.
Oh, I can't wait to not watch that.
For All Mankind, a series that retells history as if the space race had never ended.
Okay, that's awful.
And C, an epic drama set in a society where all of humankind has lost their sights.
Okay, that just sounds terrible. Who's coming up with this stuff?
Apparently the person who just sat down, stepped down.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you're fired, sir.
So Trent Reznor got an award last night.
I want to bleep you like an animal.
Well, Lil Nas X and Billy Ray Cyrus also got an award.
No.
At the CMA Awards.
Really?
Yeah. Old Town Road also earned Trent Reznor his first CMA award for production, an honor he shares with Atticus Ross and Young Keo, who Atticus Ross he works with all the time. But Old Town Road, which ended up being a smash hit, whatever I think about it doesn't really matter, but the kids seem to love that song. But Trent Reznor got a CMA award for it last night, which I found quite interesting.
Yeah, he's a sharp dude, though.
And then, obviously, the Disney Plus has launched, and apparently Disney has done a move where they edited or removed scenes that are either considered racist or contained offensive elements.
Boy, our show will never be on Disney Plus.
So Dumbo, The Aristocats, Jungle Book, and Lady and the Tramp have a disclaimer about outdated cultural depictions. And basically...
What, did Lady and the Tramp, did she hashtag Me Too?
Well, basically they say that... I don't think they're taking them out of the movies necessarily, but they're basically letting people know, hey, we thought this wasn't racist at the time, or we did and it was socially acceptable. Not so good now. So they're warning people when they've got these things. Apparently Song of the South is not available on Disney Plus.
Okay, that one I kind of get.
They decided
that one I kind of get.
That one was a little culturally outdated to the point where they don't want to have it on their streaming service anymore. But apparently there's no reported use of the N-word in any of the Marvel movies, so you don't have to worry about that. They're all there, so it's all good.
I always wondered about Lady and the Tramp because that little Cocker Spaniel and that big-ass mutt dog.
Yeah.
Just wondered.
That was consensual, fully consensual.
Well, maybe, maybe not. I don't know.
Well, you haven't watched the outtakes.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to watch after the
all right.
That's Hoffman on Hollywood.
Okay, well, guess what? We're done.
That's it.
I want to thank everybody who came out. Absolute blast here. We'll do it again, I'm sure. And the bottles should be available any minute now, which I'm going to hang around until they're available.
Of course. And we'll see the Bowmaniacs.
Yeah, we'll see the Bowmaniacs tomorrow. And you guys have a tough act to follow because the people here at Whitmire's, awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'm going to give them an A+ today. I'm going to give Tyler an A+.
Yeah.
I'm going to give Hoffman an A+.
Okay.
I'm going to give Aaron an incomplete because, you know, he was there and
he tried to make us do math.
Yeah, and that kind of confused me, especially after we'd been tasting alcohol. And I was better than usual today. I'm going to give myself a solid D+.
Well, it's because you're a little buzzed.
Not really. I'm kind of like I was about 30 minutes ago. I was in buzz land. Now I'm kind of like, oh, okay, that's worn off. I should probably have two more, but then I'd have to drive home, and that'd be awful. All right, so come see us at Red's Ice House in Beaumont tomorrow. Thank everybody so much for coming out here. Thank Chris and Travis. Till tomorrow, stay sportsy, bitches.
Baby's got a habit, diamond rings and Fendi sports bras. Riding down Rodeo in my Maserati sports car. God knows stress I've been through.